And welcome to this Friday, January 12th edition of Between the Lines. Village of North Fond du Lac became the first municipality in Fond du Lac County this week to adopt a state law regarding social hosting underage drinking parties. And we'll talk with North Fond du Lac Police Chief Darren Pouch coming up a little bit later on in the program. The Fond du Lac School Board this week updating its anti-harassment policy to include transgender students. And shortly after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by a transgender student at Fond du Lac High School and the editor of the Cardinal Columns High School newspaper. That's coming up shortly after the bottom of the hour. We'll get their reaction. Waupun Police Department handing out awards this week. And Waupun's Deputy Chief Jeremy Roche will join us on the next segment of the show. And an Oshkosh man has been convicted of stealing $14 million from a Fond du Lac scrap metal firm. District Attorney Eric Tony will join us on the show. Self-driving car revolution gaining speed. It'll change our everyday lives in ways that are big and small, and it'll be here before you know it. But who is at fault when one of these autonomous vehicles crashes and injures or kills someone? Scott Thompson is an associate attorney with the Madison law firm Gingras, Cates & Walks with the Wisconsin Association for Justice, and he joins us on the first segment of the show. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
A few years ago, when Tom Petri was in Congress representing the 6th Congressional District, we had a discussion, and he was he chaired the House Surface Transportation Subcommittee, and we were talking about autonomous vehicles. This is probably 6-7 years ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really even heard of this, at least to the extent that we're hearing about it today. And he told me, he said, you know, there are already autonomous vehicles in Europe, and they are coming here soon. And I remember that discussion with him. And then I remember talking with some automobile dealership owners about this, and they hadn't even heard. They said, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, not in our lifetime. But and I said, no, I said, it's going to happen in our lifetime. And then there was a feature that I saw a couple of years ago on 60 Minutes where I think it was Harry Smith was in an autonomous vehicle crossing the Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco. And I thought, wow, this is coming sooner than we think. Last year, I was telling you off air, last year I talked with the person who's in charge of developing policy in the state of Wisconsin for autonomous vehicles. And he said at that time, and it was early last year, he said before the end of the year, we're going to have autonomous vehicles in Wisconsin. And he said within the next few years, we're going to see more and more. There's going to be the transition over to eventually all autonomous vehicles. When you think about that, how close we are to what seemed like science fiction for people not too long ago, this is right around the corner.
Yes, Greg, I think you make an interesting point. It's sort of incredible to think about where, as a society, our minds might have been even 2 years ago on this question compared to where we sit now. And I think that a lot of folks right now in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show, I believe is the name of the convention known as CES, there's a lot of buzz going around on really where the technology is right now. And it's quite incredible. I believe it's General Motors has stated that by 2019, they plan to have an autonomous vehicle, driverless car fleet available to consumers. Now, that's just next year. But there remains a significant amount of questions about, first, just exactly when this is going to be reality for the average person, the average Wisconsinite, and then just how we plan on dealing with this radically different technology, both in the context of how folks get from A to B, but also in the context of what happens to people in the event that, let's say, there's a car accident. There's a lot of questions that we don't have resolved that I think will be interesting to watch over the next, few months, few years.
Yeah. In fact, the press release from the Association for Justice says manufacturers like Audi, Volvo, Ford, and BMW promise a fully autonomous vehicle by 2020. So it's coming, and there's going to be the difficult part will be that transition period, because there's still going to be people driving their cars with autonomous vehicles also on the highway.
Absolutely. The transition is where things are going to get dicey. And perhaps even using the word transition might not be the exact right word we're looking for, because it implies that at some point every vehicle on the roadway is going to be one that doesn't have a traditional operator in the sense we would think of it now. And I think that perhaps that might be slightly too far of a stretch. It seems that there could always be a need to yourself get in a vehicle and go somewhere, and especially in the United States, where really the vehicle in the open road is sort of part of our blood system, if you will. Whether or not that will ever be fully extinct, I think, remains to be seen. But it's important to recognize that when this transition or when this evolution goes towards a more fully autonomous vehicle fleet, that we're just making sure that the promises of autonomous vehicles, namely safety and convenience, that we can really realize those things as much as possible while making sure that the transition doesn't leave anyone behind.
Right. The thing of it is, I mean, the autonomous vehicles are going to make the roads more safe. There's no question about it. In fact, again, using your press release, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that there could be 90% less vehicle crashes. But here's the catch. That's true. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. And as human beings, it is frustrating when a drunken driver causes a crash that kills or injures someone, or mm-hmm. when somebody blows a stop sign or a stoplight. Those mm-hmm. types of crash, but we are human and we make mistakes, and we can rationalize that. And those crashes are going to go down 90%. I mean, they'll just plummet. But there are going to be crashes that occur that injure someone or kill someone that maybe would not have happened if the driver had been in control of the vehicle.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. And I can tell you firsthand, I deal with folks who have been hurt by drunk drivers, have been injured in car accidents, and it can really throw a wrinkle into your whole life. It can be a serious tragedy. So as driverless cars move towards eliminating those accidents, we should only be welcoming them. But you're right to point out that there's new complications and new understandings of really who even causes a car accident. Now, let me explain that. The way that driverless cars operate is they're going to be controlled most likely by some sort of computer program, some sort of almost perhaps an application on our phone that allows us to basically, like Uber, hail a car, get in it, and it'll take you somewhere else. Now, the question that really gets interesting is what happens if that service, the code that underlies the program, if you will, what if there's a problem there? In that circumstance, you could imagine that a car accident could be caused simply by having too many zeros or ones in the underlying programming of an application. And I mean, it's sort of funny to think about how just something that minor could cause a serious problem, but then there's new questions. Is it Uber? Is it the company that made the program that we're going to hold at fault for that type of car accident?
Or is it the car manufacturer?
Or exactly, the car manufacturer. There's a lot of questions, and I can tell you for certain that those two types of groups are going to be pointing fingers at each other to try and figure out who would bear the burden. But in any event, I think the point that you made to start out is the right one, and that's that to the extent that we can make sure that the roadways are safer, we should be doing that.
Right. All right, who does the law enforcement officer give a ticket to if, for some reason, the autonomous vehicle commits a traffic offense?
I mean, that's related and excellent question. You know, places that have begun to regulate this, like California and Arizona, have made the policy decision to define the operator of an autonomous vehicle. And the way that they do that is by saying it's the person who engages the technology. Again, that's sort of legalese and doesn't really answer the question, but I think what they're trying to get at is they want to continue to hold liable or responsible the person who's controlling the car to the extent that you start the process of getting the vehicle. But whether or not that's going to be simple to play out on the roadways, I think remains to be seen.
Can the driver in that kind of a situation, if the driver in an autonomous vehicle is reading a book and his car, can the driver be held liable in any way?
In the places that have begun to regulate this more specifically, I think the answer to your question is yes. I think they would say that you as the operator had a more significant duty. And I think it's important to understand where the technology is on the roadways right now to really put that in context. So I know that Tesla's quasi-autonomous vehicles on the roadway right now permit their drivers to sort of engage the technology and by and large take their hands off the steering wheel. Now, the Tesla technology always indicates that you should maintain the ability to retake control of the vehicle if need be. So it's in flux right now. We're sort of in between fully autonomous and partially autonomous. And I think in that situation where the car is clearly telling the driver, hey, you need to make sure that you're still paying attention, there's at least an argument that it's still on the driver to make sure that, hey, even if the book is pretty good, you better make sure you're watching out for the other people on the highway.
It's sort of like if it's snowing outside and you're driving too fast for conditions, you don't have your car on cruise control going 70 miles an hour. If the road is slippery, the car, the autonomous vehicle, doesn't necessarily know the road is slippery.
Exactly. In the same way that right now our system of liability hinges on just the reasonableness of, you know, your actions, I think that's still true. And that mechanism or that scheme of liability we have to sort of apportion responsibility for collisions and accidents on the person who's acting unreasonable still makes sense here. It basically says that let's just make sure that whoever is doing the right thing is not held responsible, but if you're operating your automated vehicle in a way that's irresponsible or negligent, that, you know, you're still held liable for that.
All right. Well, Scott, you're going to have to find a new way to make money because you're not going to have any drunk driving clients.
So, well, I'll tell you this. If there is no drunk driving clients, I'll be happy to find a new line of work.
Associate Attorney with Gingras, Cates & Walks in Madison with the Wisconsin Association for Justice, Scott Thompson. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Absolutely. You have a nice day, Greg.